The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Setting the Record Straight, where various Christian Reconstructionist pastors seek to understand and dissect the issues that are plaguing the church today, from the pulpit to the pew.
Welcome to Setting the Record Straight on the Reconstructionist Radio Network. I'm your host, Derek Evans. Today I want to talk a little about something that's been on my mind a lot lately, and that is the biblical perspective on agriculture. Scripture actually has quite a bit to say about the subject. Christ uses agriculture in his teaching through the parables, and the first God-given profession to any man on earth was tending his garden. I want us to take a look today at the biblical perspective on farming, not only to learn how to be fruitful and sustainable, but how, like every good thing God has created, farming also reveals the character of God to us. Even when we look at the life cycle of a plant, God's design for the Great Commission and the building of His kingdom is plainly laid out for us. As you listen today, you'll soon realize that much of what I have to say can be applied to a number of professions. The key point I'm trying to make is that everything we do, including our professions, should be done in a way that glorifies God and reflects the love of Christ to a fallen world. Contrary to popular belief among many American evangelicals, the kingdom of God encompasses everything in our lives and isn't only contained inside the walls of a church. So please, do not feel excluded if you do not do any kind of farming or gardening. A lot of what I have to say will apply to your profession as well. Now, with that being said, if you do not have some type of garden, even if it's just a few containers on your patio, windowsill, or your balcony, my question to you is, why not? It's easy to do and very rewarding. I'd be more than happy to offer any help or advice to anyone who would be interested. I really started thinking about the relationship between farming and the gospel when I began thinking about starting my seeds for this year's crop. Let's consider the tomato seed for a moment. You can fit several tomato seeds on one of your thumbnails. They're very small. The weight of one of these seeds doesn't even register in your hand. But this seed has the potential to grow into a plant that produces many pounds of fruit. And it all starts from this one tiny seed. Left alone and to itself, this seed does absolutely nothing. It must fall to the ground and die, becoming something new, and be born again into a fruit-bearing plant. Just as Jesus tells us in John 12:24, we, like the kernel of wheat, must die to ourselves in order to grow into something that produces fruit for the kingdom. This tomato seed also does an excellent job of revealing to us the growing kingdom of God. Christ uses a similar example in the parable of the soils. This seed is the gospel of Christ. In his parable, what determines the fruit-bearing outcome of this seed is dependent on the Holy Spirit preparing the soil, which is representative of the hearts of men. The good soil is the one that eventually produces a fruit-bearing plant from that one gospel seed. The other soils are false converts that eventually fall away. For today's purpose, I want to focus on that good soil. I start my tomato seeds in a temperature-controlled environment under grow lights. I want hardy, healthy plants before I introduce them to the field. If I was to just throw my tomato seeds into the garden and forget about them, they wouldn't be very productive. They could still bear fruit and be recognized as a tomato plant, but productivity would be minimal at best. Instead, I give my plants a good start, making sure they're well prepared before I introduce them into a new environment. When I finally do introduce them into this new environment, I carefully tend them. I make sure they have the correct amount of water. I ensure they're fed properly. I even make sure of the correct pH balance of the soil, ensuring they're given all the proper things in order to grow correctly. I clear away any weeds or unwanted plants that grow and compete with my tomato plants. I take measures to ensure they're not harmed by pest or blight. I do everything I can to ensure these plants grow into something that will produce a high quantity of a high-quality fruit. Now, if properly tended, each plant can produce many pounds of tomatoes, and each tomato can have anywhere from 15 to over 50 seeds in it, depending on the type of tomato plant. If you were to save each of these seeds and plant them again the following year, the amount of fruit and seeds produced over a few generations from that one single original seed could be astronomical. Romans 1 tells us that God has revealed His attributes to all men through His creation. This is very evident when we consider the tomato seed. It presents us with a beautiful picture of the Great Commission. Christ commands us to spread the gospel and make disciples of all nations. To do our part in building His kingdom, this is the very thing we do. We go out and we spread the gospel seed. Now here is where we often make our mistakes. We plant the seed in the soil, and as soon as we see the plant sprout from the ground, we leave it alone without tending it. We move on to something else. We're called to make disciples, learners. And how can they learn or be discipled without someone there to teach them? Now, just as that tomato plant must be watered and fed, we too must be there to feed the disciples we make. We have to ensure they're being taught correctly. We must feed them by teaching them to obey all things that Christ has commanded. That's part of the Great Commission. And just as I must tend my plants daily to ensure they're protected from weeds, pests, and blight, we must also protect our disciples from the false doctrines that are plaguing the church. We protect them from the blight of the prosperity gospel or the Arminian weeds that try to grow and take over, and the plague of heresies coming from many other false religions that falsely wear the guise of Christianity. Now, even though my tomato plant could show some growth and even produce a few small deformed tomatoes if I left it unattended, I wouldn't properly be doing my job as a farmer if I neglected it that way. And just as the new convert could bear some fruit while mired under the weeds and blight of false doctrines and bad teachers, I would also be neglecting the commandment given by Christ to disciple the new believer, and therefore would be disobeying Christ by not carrying out my full duties given to me and the Great Commission to further Christ's kingdom to the best of my abilities. In order for this disciple to become fruit-bearing, he must be in fellowship with other believers, believers that are serious about carrying out the Great Commission, believers that are willing to tend one another like we tend our plants, in order to produce the highest quantity of high-quality fruit. Another thing farming with a biblical worldview teaches us is good stewardship over the things God has given into our care. A book I would like to recommend on this subject is Born Again Dirt, Farming to the Glory of God by Noah Sanders. He takes a great approach to the subject of our agricultural responsibility from a biblical perspective. This is an excerpt, not from his book, but from his blog on the Redeeming the Dirt website. How does God want us to care for His creation? How does He want us to tend our farms or gardens? Well, if we look at Genesis, when God first gave the assignment of caring for His creation to man and placed him in the garden, the instructions He gave him were to care for and work it. Another way to look at that, His management was to be both sustainable and fruitful. Sustainable refers to man's job to protect, maintain, tend, and help supply the needs of the resources he's caring for. He's not supposed to use up or destroy the resources of creation to his own benefit. Instead, he realizes that creation doesn't belong to him, that he's caring for it out of love for God and service to others. So he seeks to maintain and preserve creation for the benefit of those who come after. Fruitful refers to the man's job to fully utilize creation for increased productivity. just as in the parable of the talents, man is not simply to preserve the talents of creation, but he is to put them to work to produce fruit. It is part of our job to work with our hands so that we can have some to share with those in need. In agriculture, it is easiest to be either just sustainable or just fruitful. Many times, it is easier to primarily seek to preserve our resources and produce only what it takes to live. However, that is selfish because it's wasting, for the sake of our laziness, the potential fruitness of the land that could be used to serve others. And most of the time, it's easier to seek to produce all that we can at the expense of resources of creation. However, this is selfish because it's robbing future generations of what they need to be fruitful and productive. In the past, we can see that many farming methods tended to stray from biblical sustainable fruitfulness. In America, for instance, many of the early Native Americans were very sustainable, but they were not very fruitful. They just existed from one generation to the next, rarely leaving anything more to the next than they'd received. And then the European settlers, although Christians, tended to be very fruitful, but not very sustainable. They established a pattern of using up the land and moving west, ruining the inheritance of their descendants. If we want to redeem our dirt, then we need to seek to farm in a way that is sustainability fruitful, both caring for and working creation. It's a lot easier to be either sustainable or fruitful, but because it's not about us, we need to purpose to be both. Sustainably fruitful is the harder path, but anything less is bad stewardship. That was from the blog of Noah Sanders. We see farming and husbandry as a continuing theme throughout Scripture. Not only does it reveal the gospel to us or give us a way to glorify God, it also causes us to depend upon God to supply us with the things we need in order to be successful in our endeavors. Those vital natural resources provided by God are also an exercise of faith and blessing for us. The supply of those resources by God are always a blessing and often a promise. We can see in Psalm 104:14, "You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for the man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth." God is the creator of life. He gives us these plants. He gives us these animals. He said, "Here they are, tend them, be my steward over these things." He gives them to us, and it's up to us to take responsibility for that. But at the same time, we must thank and praise God for giving us those things. God gives us this promise, Deuteronomy 11:13-15. "And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil, and he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full." When we view agriculture from a biblical perspective, and practice agriculture from a biblical perspective, we're working to further the kingdom of God. This goes for anything we do in life. Every action we make, even our professions, must be first filtered through the Word of God with His glory as the foremost importance. Now let's consider Deuteronomy 24:19-22. "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather your grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow." Leviticus 23:22. "And when you reap the harvest of your land, You shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. So how would we put this scripture into practice today? Our situation is a little different here in modern times, but the context is unchanging. When God gave this commandment, public roads and paths cut through all the farm ground. People were always walking past the fields. When harvest time came, the reapers came through the field, harvested the crops, but left the rows alongside the road untouched. God had blessed the farmer with rain and a good harvest, and in turn, the farmer was to pass that blessing along to those in need who were traveling by or those who lived in the area. They knew that they too could be blessed because they could come and glean behind the reapers. Oftentimes, not all the harvest matured at the same time. Some plants were slower than others. The second or third ears of corn developed more slowly. When I was a kid, my grandfather raised 20 to 30 acres of sweet corn every year. It was very popular. People would come for the couple of weeks we harvested sweet corn from miles and around, large lines to buy sweet corn from us. And we would hire several other teenage kids, and we'd go through the field. This was all hand-picked and thrown into trailers, and we brought it back up, boxed it up, and sold it. Not all the corn was ready at the same time, and these stalks of corn would have a second ear on them, but most of the time, that second ear didn't produce well, didn't fill out and make a good ear of corn, or some of the top ears weren't fully developed yet for whatever reason, or teenage kids being what they are would miss ears of corn as we went down the row. What I liked about it, when I was 16 years old, my grandpa would let me take my old Ford pickup truck down in the field a few days later, and I could go over those places by myself and get all the corn out of there, all the good corn that was missed. I could glean the field. I got to glean over the field. I got the good corn that was missed, or the ones that weren't quite ready before. I could fit 125 dozen in the back of my truck. I'd go to town, have it sold in an hour, and I would have a few hundred dollars in my pocket, and I was the happiest teenage boy there could be. I could glean the field. Well, in the biblical times here, what we would do is we would not glean over that field. The widows, orphans, sojourners, the poor, they came behind. They got to glean over the field because it doesn't actually belong to the farmer. He was blessed by God. He had to share God's blessings. Well, today we have a slightly different situation. Our farms are on private property and not open to the public. In our litigious society, the sojourner could walk onto your property to glean your field, fall and get hurt, and then sue you and own your farm, and you'd lose everything you have. So how do we still farm with a biblical perspective and still share with the poor as we're commanded to do? Well, it's a pretty easy solution. We glean our fields ourselves, but not for our own gain. Plant extra and give it to those in need. Even if you have a bad year, set aside a certain percentage of your harvest to bless those in need, because you have to remember you only have a harvest to begin with by the grace of God. And if you are truly to be Christian or Christ-like, you will share those blessings with others, reflecting the love of Christ to them. But I only have a small garden in my backyard. Does this still apply to me? Of course it does. If you live in an urban or suburban area, you are blessed with many neighbors and many opportunities to spread the gospel. Your backyard garden can help to do that very thing. Your neighbor is probably used to eating that chemical-infested, bland produce found at the grocery store. You can use that space in your backyard to grow a variety of quality produce for your family's consumption. And you can also grow this produce with the intent of sharing it with your neighbor. Now, tending your garden takes a lot of work and a lot of patience. But by doing that work and letting your neighbor share in the harvest, you can establish a relationship with them. You can take this opportunity to not only share the gospel with them, but for them to see the gospel through your words and your actions and your deeds. When they think of Christians, maybe they'll no longer think of the hypocrites in the church down the road. They'll now also think of the person who was thoughtful enough to show them this kindness and share with them the fruits of their labor. Even if you don't have a backyard, you can still grow a variety of herbs in containers or plants on your patio in containers to bless someone with. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this concept is not only limited to agriculture. Maybe you work construction. You can help your neighbor with a home repair free of cost. If you're an accountant, maybe you can tutor the neighbor's kid in math or economics for free of charge. If you're mechanically inclined, you can help your neighbor with a costly car repair, saving them the expense of that labor, no matter what the work is. Whatever you do, I'm sure you can find a way to be productive and to share your knowledge and labor with your neighbor in order to bless them. No matter what the work is, the focus and final outcome is still the same. How can I use my profession to glorify God and grow His kingdom? Am I being kingdom-driven with my profession? Am I putting God's will above my own desires? How can I incorporate my job into my ministry? God has revealed Himself to us through the workings of His creation. He's placed us as stewards over that creation. It's up to us to be good stewards and to be fruitful and sustainable with the things He's given into our care. By doing this, not only will we reap the benefits and blessings that come with it, but our harvest will be the most productive and we'll be doing our part to produce good fruit for the kingdom of God.
Thank you for listening to Setting the Record Straight. Join us on Facebook at the Reconstructionist Radio Discussion Group. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to listen to all of our podcasts and to download our free audiobooks. The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network brings to you a complete lineup of podcasts where you will hear practical and tactical theology. Our desire is not simply that you consume our shows, but that you also live out your faith in every area of life. We can talk all day long about these things, but if we fail to put them into practice, then we fail as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, our King. Subscribe now to your favorite Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network shows, or you can subscribe to the Reconstructionist Radio Master Feed, where all of the content we produce, including the audiobooks and audio articles, will pop up as soon as they are available. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to volunteer as a narrator or to partner with this ministry financially. May the Holy Spirit stir you into action for Christ and His kingdom.